The word today is rock. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. There are 208 names for Jesus in the Holy Scriptures. One of these names is rock. It is used in both the New and Old Testaments. Jesus, in a supernatural way, provided water for the children of Israel as they crossed the desert. Here from our archives with more about this name for Jesus is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Rock.
One of the things that we have done in the past several months is look at the names in the Holy Scriptures that identify the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, one true God, sent his Son Jesus to earth. You remember the incarnation, the whole Christmas story, when God the Father sent his Son Jesus to be born of the Holy Spirit, entering into Mary, the Virgin Mary, and giving human flesh to Jesus, the Son of God. So he was both true God and true man. Now, in the Holy Scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, there are 208 names, just beautiful, beautiful names for Jesus. I have covered some of these with you. The one I'm going to be talking about today is that he is the rock, the rock. Before we get to that, let me just review some of these names of Jesus. I just find them so beautiful and so pictorial because they describe Jesus to us, the chosen one of God. Isn't that beautiful? He is the Christ of God. He is the Lamb of God. You know, all of these are symbolic. They give beautiful, I like this one, the bridegroom. You know how the Holy Scriptures describe the coming of Jesus Christ, that he is coming for his church called the bride, and he is the bridegroom. He is the bread of life. I love that one. In other words, the symbolism showing you need him in order to be alive. Now, physically, you can live, I suppose, without Christ. Theoretically, that's really not true, because Christ, if there was not true God, then there wouldn't be any life at all. There couldn't be life without God. But the physical aspect, I like to think of this because once in a while, I think we get carried away and think that our spiritual life can just live without us using the Scriptures or using Holy Communion. And of course, that's not possible. If you don't eat physical food, you're going to get anemic and weak and finally die of starvation. If you don't eat spiritual food, which is God's Word and Holy Communion and remembering your baptism, if you don't do those things spiritually, then the Holy Spirit has nothing to feed you with because he has chosen, God has chosen to give life through his word. And of course, the key there again is Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. And so I guess I'm just trying to review the importance of these names, 208 of them that are used in the Holy Scriptures, to describe God the Son, Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at the name for Jesus in the Old Testament. It's used also in the New Testament. Maybe what I should do is read the reference that I'm going to be talking about to you. It's in the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthian church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Actually, it begins in verse 3. Let me read it from this translation. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. There we have the answer to the rock. It was Christ. Now, this is Jesus Christ before his incarnation, before he became man born of the Virgin Mary. So this is the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. And in the crossing of the desert, those 40 years as they left the Babylonian captivity and moved toward the Promised Land, they had manna every day, spiritual food that God prepared for them, so to speak, and it was there for them to eat as they crossed the deserts, that they wouldn't starve. And then also, there was spiritual water, and that is the rock. Now, in the Old Testament, Moses, who was leading the people, was told on one occasion, because the people were so thirsty and they were mumbling and complaining, they said, "What did you do? Bring us out here in the desert to thirst to death?" And of course, then God told Moses, "Strike the rock. Here's the rock." And it was accompanied them. I imagine that means it moved right with them. Now, of course, they didn't move every day. We know of certain areas where they stayed, probably for a month or two, and grazed the cattle and so on. But in the process, they would move occasionally. And when that move was underway, that rock would move with them, just like it says here in 1 Corinthians. And in the Old Testament, Moses was told to strike the rock, and it would produce water. And of course, then water came out. Just a fantastic, fantastic picture of how God saved his people by quenching their thirst, and the thirst of the cattle also. Now, it's interesting that the symbol of this rock continues on, in fact, even up into the first four or five chapters of the Old Testament. There was a time when they were coming toward Mount Sinai that God said, "I will give you the Ten Commandments." And he had Moses go up Mount Sinai, you remember, and get the Ten Commandments. Now, around that time, that rock was still with them, and the people again were murmuring and complaining that they didn't have anything to drink. And so God came to Moses and said, now listen carefully to this because it's a little different. God said to Moses, "Go and speak to the rock, and it will supply the water." Well, now you remember the first time in the early part of the Old Testament when Moses struck the rock and the water came. This was supposed to be different. God had told Moses, "Speak to the rock, and the water will come." Well, Moses, you know, I have to tell you, whenever I read this account, it strikes me as though there was just a slight disobedience here, because Moses doesn't speak to the rock. He strikes it with the staff. He strikes it twice, and the water comes. But this was a disobedience. God had told Moses, "Speak to the rock," and instead he hit the rock. I can imagine in Moses' mind, he's saying, "Well, what's the difference? I want to get at it and get it done." And he probably was a little bit of a showman at that point and wanted to show, "I'm going to hit the rock and the water will come again." But because of that disobedience, and it might seem like a very slight thing, not too obvious of a disobedience. After all, the first time when he was to get the water from the rock, he was told to strike it, and he did. So I suppose he thought, "Well, I'll just do that again." But it was a direct disobedience. And we are told in the Holy Scriptures, in the Old Testament, that because of this disobedience, and it was well known publicly because the people could see their leader Moses either obeying or disobeying, and he had disobeyed God. And there's a consequence to pay for that. That's an outright deliberate disobedience. And so Moses and Aaron, who was with him in all this, Moses and Aaron were told that because of that disobedience, they would not be allowed to enter the Promised Land. Now just think of that. How much importance God places on obedience, that we obey him. You know, I think of that a lot. I think so often we as Christians start getting careless and start acting in disobedience, maybe forgetting to do the things that God has asked us to do, or maybe deliberately, purposely not doing things like witnessing to our neighbors and relatives, and we disobey God. This is not a trivial thing. This is important to God. He wants obedience. And he wants us, his people, to be obedient to him. We are to live in a way with God that shows that we respect him and honor him and obey him. So I just want to stress that. This is the name given to Jesus in the Old Testament as he followed them and supplied the water for them from that rock. Now, there are other references to the rock, and I want to make sure I cover them too. It's sometimes referred to as the shade we get from the rock. Can you imagine being out in the blistering sun, crossing the desert, and you just need to get some shade? You just need a lowering of the temperature a little bit to rest and maybe take a nap or something. And Jesus is referred to as the rock behind which we can find the shade and the rest that we need to regain our strength. Now, there's also a third reference, and I love this. I believe I have the date. I think it's 1762. I hope that's right. Maybe somebody that knows all the hymns and the history of the hymns can correct me on that if I'm wrong. But I think it was in 1762 that the guy that wrote Rock of Ages, you know, that's a reference to Jesus as the rock. And in this case, he is looking for a cleft, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. In other words, an opening, a gap in the rock where he can come in and get safety from a storm. Now, the story is true. I believe it was in 1762 that he's walking along a shoreline and a terrific storm comes up with the wind and the howling of the wind and probably lightning and everything. It was just a tremendous storm, and he had to get to some safety. And God provided a rock with a cleft into which he went and hid. So that's another name for Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.